So our second scripture this morning comes from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 6, verses 30 through 36. Give to everyone who asks you, and if anyone takes what belongs to you, do not demand it back. Do to others as you would have them do unto you. If you love those who love you, what credit is that to you? Even sinners love those who love them. And if you do good to those who are good to you, what credit is that to you? Even sinners do that. And if you lend to those from whom you expect repayment, what credit is that to you? Even sinners lend to sinners, expecting to be repaid in full. But love your enemies. Do good to them, and lend to them without expecting to get anything back. Then your reward will be great, and you will be children of the Most High, because He is kind to the ungrateful and wicked. Be merciful, just as your Father is merciful. May God bless the reading of His word this morning. The following is a quote from a gentleman by the name of Leon Logothetis. And he says, "From a distance, the world probably seems like a big, bad, scary place. If you listen to the news or even ask the person next to you, they will most likely talk about war, poverty, corruption, hate, the economy. And they are right, from a distance. But I believe that up close, there is enough good, enough love, and enough pure kindness to make the world go round. And that is what has inspired my journey." Now, Leon Logothetis, some of you may have heard of before, but he is the founder of the Human Interaction Project. And he is an author, and he is a world traveler. And I was introduced to Leon through his book, The Kindness Diaries, as well as the Netflix series, The Kindness Diaries. And The Kindness Diaries chronicles his travels over a couple of seasons on two separate occasions, where he took off in a yellow VW bug on one occasion and a yellow motorcycle with a sidecar attached on the other one. Leon himself had been a very successful businessman, yet found his life to be lonely and lacking. He had experienced much loneliness in his life, as well as a lot of bullying, and he just felt like life had more to offer. After much thought, he developed this theory that spurred him on, and the theory was that in order to be happy, he would take on his own happiness, but in order to be happy, he needed to go out. He needed to get out of himself. He needed to help others feel less alone and just be kind. Leon set off to prove that there is great kindness in the world and that it is not in these big events or these big acts that people do, but it's the small ones, those quiet reminders of the heart each day. When we encounter people who drop their masks and their pretenses, and they're just real people, they reveal their true selves. They reveal what's in their heart, and a connection is born, a connection with one another. He wanted to move beyond these silly conversations that we have about what do we do for work or what do we do to make a living? What about the weather? And really develop relationships with one another. He knew that this could change people, and this could also change the world. So he sets out on his adventure. He starts in Hollywood, LA area, and he is going to go around the world in a VW bug. So you have to picture this, VW bug. And he's going to rely solely on other people for gas, for food, and for lodging. Not because he has to, but because he wants to prove this point, that he can travel the world and get where he needs to go just by the kindness of others. And it might sound a bit crazy, and a lot of people thought that he was pretty crazy to do this, but he really felt like people are inherently good, and they're kind, and they want to help. So his travels took him from the United States across oceans. So think about that. He's got a car. He's got to get the car across the ocean. Across oceans, he went to places like France and Italy and Turkey and Cambodia and China and India and you name it. It was a lot of different countries. Many of these places are racked by poverty. They're racked by conflict or war or human trafficking or you name it. You can list lots of different things. But the stories he told are absolutely heart-wrenching. And yes, as you would expect, there was a lot of rejection in these stories. He would ask, I really need gas. I really need some food. I really need a place to put my head tonight. And he was rejected a lot. But what was so astounding that there was not one country that he went to where he couldn't find a person or a group of people that would engage with him. Would engage on this human level, talking, learning about each other's stories. And they always would end up helping him with whatever he needed. And over again, what struck me was the people who were the kindest are the people who had the least, the people who were the most broken, and the people who maybe had the most to lose. And may we probably find that right here in our own lives as well. Well, kindness sometimes is a really hard term to define, primarily because it has so many meanings, lots of overlapping meanings. Your definition is probably different than my definition. Well, this isn't even just true in the English language. When I looked up the word kindness in the Greek and in the Hebrew, there's 100 different words in each of those languages as well for the word kindness. So no wonder it can be a confusing word sometimes. But one thing that we do know is that kindness is an attribute of God. We read this time and time again in Scripture. We can read this, we read this in Galatians this morning. Kindness is a fruit of the Spirit from God. However, it's also an attribute that sometimes maybe doesn't exist in people we encounter, and sometimes maybe the kindness doesn't really exist in us, depending on the day. The fact that kindness is attributed to God is shared actually in the Bible verse in Jeremiah, chapter 9 through 24. And that wasn't one of our scriptures this morning, but Jeremiah shares what God says here. And God says, God calls himself kind in this verse. He also says that he delights in that. So I wanted just to read that real quickly for you. So Jeremiah 9, 24, that I am the Lord, who exercises kindness, justice, and righteousness on earth. For these I delight. Kindness lives in God, and because we're made in the image of God, kindness lives in our DNA as well. It's part of who we are. It's part of what makes us us. And interestingly enough, it is the international language of connection. And kindness goes hand in hand with this quality of love, which also is one of the fruit of the spirits. It is because God loves us that we receive that love through the Holy Spirit. And in turn, as Abby said this morning, we're not supposed to keep that. We're supposed to give it away. God is allowing us to share in this divine nature of kindness. God is kind. And we are called upon to exercise this very same gift that we have in our hearts. This is a part of who God is. This is a part of who we are. So I wanted to just explore briefly this morning the idea that kindness really requires some things in order for it to happen. And I think it requires three things to be effectively shared with others. It requires love. It requires a choice and an action, and it requires a connection or a relationship with another. And kindness actually doesn't even exist in the absence of any of those, one, two, or three of those. Well, we already know that we get the love from God through the Holy Spirit being poured into us. And because of this pouring into us, we then have all the love we need to pour out to others. We have been given a fruit of the Spirit of love and kindness. We read that well-known scripture this morning in Galatians, especially verse 22, that lists out all of those fruits. And love and kindness, of course, are within those nine that Abby mentioned. Against such things, there is no law, it says. But earlier in that reading, if you'll notice, and I had Marie kind of highlight for you, it talks about having freedom in Christ. And so again, kind of looking a little bit deeper about the true meanings of those words, the Greek word for freedom would be kaleo. And actually, if you translate kaleo correctly, it doesn't mean freedom. It means a holy calling, a God calling. That's what kaleo means. And really, so we are given not only the freedom to love and to give that love away, we are called by this holy calling to do such a thing, to actually give this stuff away. We are called to love and be kind to one another and not to keep it for ourselves, to be the bearers of the kingdom of God in the world. So the second thing I said is that kindness requires a choice on our part and then an action to follow it up with. It requires us not to determine our actions on reciprocity, that idea of I will do this for you if you do this for me, or if you say this, I will say that. That's not what God is asking of us. We're being asked to step out of that, to make a clear choice and a clear action to share love and to share kindness, no matter the circumstances. Reciprocity is not kingdom behavior. It requires us finding the strength in ourselves to see how amazing that other person is, no matter how scary, no matter how different, no matter how much we don't understand them. We need to step out of our comfort zone and create that connection in order for kindness to flourish. And thirdly, kindness requires us to let our guard down and really connect human to human. As Leon, in his book, describes, he describes it to this. He wants us to let our masks down and our pretenses and just be real. Kindness requires connection, but also has this uncanny way of creating connection where we had no idea it was there before. Leon experienced many of these stories, but in particular, one stands out of a homeless man who he met in Pennsylvania on his way towards the East Coast and over the ocean. He needed a place to sleep for the night. It had been a long day. And he ran into this homeless man whose name actually happened to be Tony and asked, "Hey, Tony, I really need a place to stay tonight. Can you help me?" Well, Leon couldn't really help him because Leon was homeless. He didn't have a place for Leon to stay. But instead of walking away, instead of not connecting with Tony, they connected. Tony and Leon engaged with one another to learn each other's stories. And he found that Tony did have a place that he slept. It was in a doorway of a building down the street. And he invited Leon that, "I can't offer you much, but you're welcome to join me and my buddies. This is where we sleep at night." And because of the connection that he had and because of the kindness that they showed to one another, Leon went and stayed with Tony and his buddies. And his buddies and Tony actually shared the little bit of food that they had with Leon as well, just to get him through the night. Uncanny kindness. Uncanny relationship. A relationship that neither one of them thought about when that day had started. Rich in meaning. We sometimes have such preconceived notions when we see people that we walk away and we don't want to engage, but we have to engage. We have to engage. We're called upon. We have the holy calling of loving and being kind to one another. So we have to have love. We have to have a choice. We have to make a choice and have action associated with that choice. And we have to open ourselves up to the connection human to human. Then kindness can flourish. Our gospel reading in Luke this morning actually shows us another idea in relationship to kindness and connection. Luke outlines for us that we are not just to be kind to others that we like, but to be kind to others who we don't like, or who are mean to us, or who are our enemies. What a bold requirement and a request of us, and we kind of cower to that sometimes. But why does God tell us to do this? God tells us to be kind to our enemies because God is kind to God's enemies. And because we have received the fruit of kindness directly from the Holy Spirit, we cannot determine who is worthy and who is unworthy of our kindness. Again, the idea that this reciprocity, if you're good, I'll be good, is not kingdom or God behavior. If we treat each other well, we are the children of the Most High. We read that in our scripture this morning. We never know how we might impact others, and we may never know how we may impact our own lives. In Leon's book, Go Be Kind, he shares this: kindness will take you to the greatest mountaintops. It will lead you into incredible mysteries. It will show you the darkest parts of us, and then it will shine its magnificent light right into the very center of our being. It is in the vulnerability to ourselves and to others, our willingness to put down those masks, that we can do what God wants us to do. Our soul connected with another soul. And in the process, we can even make healing happen. Well, Leon has many stories of how kindness exists in the world and how kindness makes the world go round. God is kindness, and because of this, we are kindness. Christ commands us to love one another. Scripture tells us time and time again to love and to be kind. Leon set out to prove this theory that by being kind to others, people will be kind to you. And both of his trips were a huge success. He made it around his whole trip, both times successfully, just on the kindness of others. And the relationships that he has today are priceless because of it. There's lots of stories I could tell you about this to soak in. I recommend the book. I recommend the series on Netflix, especially if you need a day when you just need to smile. It restores your faith in humanity. We live in a world where the issue or events of the day may seem hopeless and overwhelming at times. Our hope lies in the power of transformation through our Lord, our Savior, Jesus Christ, who can take our actions of love and kindness and change the lives of others and ourselves. This transformation of the world is so powerful. We are called upon to seize this opportunity, this holy calling, to love others, do good, and be kind always. And because God delights in kindness, we too shall delight in kindness. Let us pray this morning. Creator God, Lord Jesus Christ, we are grateful for the gift of the fruit of kindness and love that you so unselfishly poured out to us through the Holy Spirit. Guide us and help us to, in turn, pour out those gifts upon others in order to delight in you and to delight ourselves. Kindness may just be the key to deep, soulful connections with each other, which in turn may impact in a way that we may never understand. We are thankful, God, for your willingness to share your divine nature with us, and we know that by the power of Jesus, we can be part of the transformation of the world. We also hold up this morning those that we know and those that we don't know who need our prayers, Lord. We have a list of friends of our own congregation, and we lift each one of them to you this morning and ask for your mercy and blessings upon them. We hold up those in our community, our country, and our world who feel alone, who have been bullied, who feel that no one cares, who need our love and kindness. Help us to step out and share what we have learned, and as part of our DNA, that we continue to share the love and kindness with everyone. We thank you for your presence in our world that sometimes doesn't feel so kind. We are grateful for all that you provide. We pray this in your name. Amen.